Hello and welcome to our service for Sunday the 24th of May. Let me begin our time of worship together with the reading from 2 Corinthians 13:13 that I've used over the last several weeks. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And some words from Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And an image from Revelation. Great and marvellous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. I invite you to join with me in the thanksgiving. The words will be on the screen. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for life and health and safety and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me pray before we hear from God's word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our first reading for today is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our psalm for today is Psalm 68, and it's verses 1 to 10, and then 32 to 35. God shall arise, and his enemies shall be scattered. Those that hate him shall flee before his face. As smoke is dispersed, so shall they be dispersed. As wax melts before a fire, so shall the wicked perish at the presence of God. But the righteous shall be glad and exult before God. They shall rejoice with gladness. O sing to God, sing praises to his name. Glorify him that rode through the deserts, him whose name is the Lord, and exult before him. He is the father of the fatherless. He upholds the cause of the widow. God in his holy dwelling place. He gives the desolate a home to dwell in and brings the prisoners out into prosperity. But rebels must dwell in a barren land. O God, when you went out before your peoples, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens poured down water, before the God of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You showered down a generous rain, O God. You prepared the land of your possession when it was weary. And there your people settled, in the place that your goodness, O God, has made ready for the poor. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises to the Lord. To him that rides upon the highest heavens, that were from the beginning, who utters his voice, which is a mighty voice, ascribes power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and his might is in the clouds. Terrible is God who comes from his holy place, the God of Israel who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. And our next reading is taken from 1 Peter in his chapter 5. Now, as an elder myself and witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it. Not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you must clothe yourself with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourself, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. Through Silvanus, whom I consider a faithful brother, I have written this short letter to encourage you and to testify that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Your sister church in Babylon, chosen together with you, send you greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our gospel reading today is from John 17, verses 1 to 11. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know the truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This last Thursday in the church's year was the day of Ascension. That is the day Jesus left his disciples and returned to heaven. This is in preparation for the sending of the Holy Spirit that we remember next Sunday at Pentecost. Before we get to the Ascension and Pentecost, we have some insights in our Gospel from John. As Jesus prays to God the Father and allows the disciples and us to listen in. If you've ever not bothered to pray because God knows anyway, it might be good to ponder, why does Jesus pray so much? Just on a little aside. In John 17 verse 1, Jesus, as he prepares for the cross and all that that entails, prays, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify the Son so that the Son may glorify you." Jesus' greatest desire is to bring glory to the Father. The Father is glorified as people come to Jesus to receive eternal life. Jesus, in a short time from this prayer, is to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And this is the means by which people come to have a relationship with God. At the end of our Gospel in John, and there is a lot more that could be said, in John 17, Jesus prays, "I am coming to you." That is, after the cross, Jesus will return to God the Father. Then we have the cross, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, and then we turn to our Acts reading for today. And the disciples ask, is this the time for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel? That is, the state of Israel that many of them anticipated Jesus had come to restore. Like the disciples, it's very easy to become focused on other issues, theological or otherwise. The days and seasons of coming events were not something the disciples needed to worry about. And for us, matters of personal freedom, COVID-19 restrictions and the like, are also secondary to God's far greater purpose for us. And for Jesus, that purpose is for us to be his witnesses. Salvation is given to be shared. That was the message to the disciples then, as it is to us. His disciples are witnesses of his life, death, resurrection, and now in this reading, his ascension. There is a sense where the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are examples of this witness. They tell the story of Jesus Christ. They proclaim him as Saviour and Lord. This then is the task of the disciples, and our task now, as our Acts reading continues on, to testify to Jesus, to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus' free and complete acceptance available through Jesus to all who ask. Salvation is given to be shared. We have the honour of carrying this message to our broken world. There will be times when we can't do it personally, and at other times we will do it in the support of our church and its outreach programs, missionary organisations and the like. It is important to add that the disciples were not left to undertake this task in their own power, and neither are we. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will be my witnesses. And so it is for us. To witness as the Holy Spirit guides and leads us and provides opportunities. But I'm eager today to also share with you briefly from 1 Peter chapter 5. The first six verses are all about being humble, whatever else the situation we find ourselves in, whether it being leader or follower, submitting to others. As we humble ourselves before God, we should become increasingly dependent upon God. And this is really where verse 7 is getting to, and this is one of our important ones for today. Verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Now, I'm sorry if that sounds a little bit flippant, but it's really an important message for us today. Some people are finding the current situation with COVID restrictions perhaps even quite liberating and enjoying the quiet and the extra time. Others are really struggling with it. And then there's other people's responses to us as well. There might be all sorts of things going on. But verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. God desires to carry our cares. From Isaiah 53:4, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus has also invited us in Matthew 11, come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Peter, in our passage today, encourages us to cast all our cares upon God. Our small problems, along with the big ones, you don't need to decide which are the ones to take to God and which are the ones you'll just deal with on your own. Go back to that first part about that humility and bring all your anxieties to him because he cares for you. God desires for us to be deeply dependent on him. So not this independent spirit which we hold so highly, but to be dependent on God with all our cares, our sorrows, our problems, our needs, and our questions. Nothing is too big for God, and nothing is too small. Our Lord cares for a single sparrow and knows the very number of the hairs on your head in Luke 12. And he cares about our small problems as well as the large. Be dependent on God. He desires for us to be dependent on him, to trust him with all our hearts and to lean not on our own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. We should cast all our cares upon him because he cares for you. Think of it. God cares for you. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. We can never be truly free until we cast our cares upon the Lord. A mark of maturity in the life of the Christian is to become increasingly dependent upon God. The more we depend on him, the more mature and free we become in God. Now, moving on a little bit, verse 8 goes on to tell us that the devil is constantly seeking to do us harm, to trip us up. Now, the reality is we can't defend ourselves on our own. But we're not meant to. We have the Holy Spirit, God, within us to help us. But our part is we do need to resist him, in verse 9. Resist him by being dependent on our loving God. Now, I do hope that this may be truly transformative time in our spiritual lives as we go through this different time. And I pray that this might be a time of increasing humility before God, particularly, but perhaps also before others. At a time of greater dependency on God, when there's so many things we can't do. So we're not to rely on our own good works, but dependency on God. This is not weakness, but the path to freedom. Live in God's truth, God's freedom, as we live in humble dependency on God. Pray that this may be lasting change in your life, not just for this season. Cast all your anxieties on God. Take them to him in prayer and take time to listen. Now, next week we turn to God's word to see how the Holy Spirit helps us and makes all of this possible. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I invite you to join with me now in the affirmation of faith. The words will be on the screen. We believe in one God who made and loves all that is. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was born, lived, died, and rose again, and is coming to call all to account. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who calls, equips, and sends out God's people and brings all things to their true end. This is our faith, the faith of the church. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we approach the time of confession, I read from Hebrews 4:16. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us now confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have broken your holy laws and have left undone what we ought to have done. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us. Cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. In response to his call, we acknowledge our sins. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Ephesians 2:4-5. Well, let me lead us in a time of prayer. You might like to just close your eyes. We pray for the world that you love. Be with all those who are suffering. Those who are suffering with violence or injustice. Those struggling with job loss or uncertainty. Those struggling with the restrictions and the ever-changing circumstances. We pray for those returning to work and those returning to school. We pray too for the grieving. Be with those who work for the health and welfare of others. We pray too for all our emergency service workers. And we pray too that you would guide all those elected to positions of authority in the world and here in Australia. We pray for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, those in government above us. But we pray too for those in opposition that provide accountability and a different voice. In their power, grant them humility that they may make wise and compassionate decisions. And for our church, we pray for Bishop Matt and his family as he's on annual leave at the moment. We pray for a time of refreshment and a good break from all the pressures that's been on him in these last months. Grant us the grace and desire to serve you, Heavenly Father, to build your kingdom here on earth, and so make this world a place where we can live together in the everlasting joy of your love. Grant us the wisdom, the will, the strength, and the humility to be living examples of your love, that in serving together we may glorify you, our Saviour and Lord. We remember before you, O Lord, our families and friends. Help us to realise that we share our concern for them with you, and that your love for them is greater than ours can ever be. Again, we pray you'd help us in humility. And we hold before you their longings and hopes for the future and their pains of the past. And we ask that you are present with them each day of their lives, teaching them surely but gently of your everlasting love. May you use us to share your love with them. We pray for the eyes to see your opportunities, the eyes to see you active in our lives and in the lives of others. We remember before you all who are sick, all those in pain, and all those who are afraid. Be with them and all who care for them, and may the Holy Spirit surround them with your love and inspire them with your strength and give them comfort and peace. In their pain, give relief. In their tiredness, give rest. If in addiction, give freedom. And if it be in your will, restore them to health and fill their lives with your joy. We pray that you might transform their hearts and minds, that they too can come to you in humility. Come to you and find your peace and your freedom. And for all of us, stir our faith that when we are weighed down by doubts and fears, we may know deep in our hearts the truth of your love. Cast all our anxieties upon you. May we be ready to accept the wonder and mystery of faith without seeking always to understand. This we pray in the loving name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to pray with me the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Loving God, we thank you for hearing our prayers, feeding us with your word, and encouraging us in our worship today. Take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will, working in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining us today in our worship. For those who are in Kai Abram and are watching this, our parish council met during the week, and we've decided to make no changes just at the moment to our worship together. The DVDs will continue, but parish council is working on a plan as to when we may be able to come back and worship together within the buildings of St Andrews. But at the moment we worship together, and we've got a number of other ways we can catch up. I pray that you'll enjoy the slightly more freedom of being able to visit friends and family at this time, but that we'll be very mindful of those who perhaps would rather, for medical reasons and for their health, stay that slightly further away from us at the moment. So if you do plan to visit, please phone people first, check that they're happy for you to visit, but I pray you'll enjoy a time of fellowship together. Thank you.